So often I love, you know, I'm like, ah, Paige is doing some cooking, and I'm like, I just don't want you to make that many dishes for me to do. You know what I mean? And I'm totally missing the point that she's making dinner for me. You know, it's like, and I'm like, I don't want to clean up those dishes. And I'm like, I hope she would change, you know, like, so I eat my cereal in like a Saran wrap bowl, then I throw the Saran wrap away. I don't have to clean the dish.
There's something wrong with you. Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better, and by the power of his spirit, do better. So together we can be a little better. Well, welcome to A Little Better. So glad to have you here. I'm still decompressing from Easter, but we are in a brand new series, week one of six on our new series, By Design, all about relationships. So glad to have Drew and Noah, our Brighton campus pastor, in the room. Drew, before we get to talking about your message, how about Brighton in 60? We usually do sermon in 60. Brighton in 60. How was Easter? How was life in Brighton?
It was incredible. 602 people, which is way more than we've ever had on any other regular Sunday. We had 686 on grand opening. Well, it was a lot of people from Rochester and Webster, but amazing. 55 baptisms since we've launched and 9 new community groups. People just getting engaged in their faith and growing and connecting. It's just been amazing. So Easter was slammed. As it was at all our campuses. We set records. Over 1,000 more people came to our across all campuses than we had last year Easter, which was a record. So 3982 last year is a record. Broke it again at 5,025 this year as a record. Just unbelievable what God's doing and bringing people, and we're trying to shepherd them and get them into groups and get them connected, and a lot of extra work. But it's good stuff. You know, it's all good stuff, Brad.
Yeah, if you haven't had a chance to visit Brighton, I encourage it. And take the jungle tour if you're there.
Get on my jungle tour. It's a blast.
You'll have to go to find out what that is, but it's worth it. And I don't even think we mentioned, I mean, I just assume everyone knows, but 5,025 in-person people, I think, is the number that God moved on Easter. I had so many people here. So, and then, hey, we got them coming back to get real practical with relationships. So, Drew, how about your sermon in 30?
Yeah. 30, wait a second. Speaking of more people just means more relational mess, right? And that's what we're diving into, right? Why are relationships so hard? How do we build healthy, lasting, strong relationships? And so we just started from a foundational perspective of Jesus is relational, right? We see him with his disciples, and he just basically tells them, like, hey, treat people the way I've treated you. Love people the way I've loved you. He gives them an object lesson by washing their feet. But we also recognize in his relationships, Jesus had a lot of relational dysfunction. So, like, we can all breathe a sigh of relief. There's not something wrong with us because all our relationships aren't going well. Jesus's didn't go all that well.
Right. No, they killed him.
Yeah, they did. Ultimately, they did. They killed him.
If you had a friend who wants to kill you, you're in the same boat as Jesus.
Exactly. Right? Might not want to be the result you're gunning for. I nailed it. They killed
me. True love.
Exactly. So the whole point is, like, we can love like Jesus, and it doesn't always mean it's going to change the people receiving that love, but yet we're still called to show that love out of the love God has shown us.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's really hard to do. That's good, but it's so hard to do.
Yeah, I think that's a great transition. Like, we came from this eyewitness account series, and we just saw Jesus having this amazing impact in people's lives, and that is so true, so amazing. I do think here we are managing expectations, really putting them in line with the Bible, because the Bible is very real about how challenging, you know, relationships are. It's easy to come off an Easter high or something like that. Or there might be, you know, someone brand new to faith.
Yeah.
And they just say, thank God I'm saved. Everything will now be perfect, you know. But that's not really how it plays out. Didn't play out that way for Jesus, nor for us. So I guess that raises a conundrum for us, and you kind of talked about it in your message, but, you know, like, if Jesus loved perfectly and things went so badly, I mean, there was his family, you mentioned, like, his family,
Pharisees,
you know, didn't understand the Pharisees, the religious establishment, those people in power, but even the people he poured his life into, his friends, he tried to show them, you know, the way for 3 years, flee, abandon him, right? Or outright betray him, like Peter and Judas. So sounds to me like I just want to throw up my hands, okay? If Jesus couldn't figure it out, what hope do I have?
I mean, honestly, that's kind of the method we take, right? You know, oh, this doesn't work the way I wanted it to work. I give up, right? I think that's the beautiful thing about Jesus in this passage is he never stops loving us. And it's not based on how we respond. Sure, does Jesus want to change our lives? Yes, right? Yes. But he doesn't love us based off of our lives changing. Mm-hmm. He just loves us, right? Judas is a great example of that. He never, like, the whole time, right? Like, betrayer, gonna bail on Jesus. Jesus just loved him, right? Mm-hmm. Even to the point where, like, he knew it was about ready to happen. Washes his feet. Like, holy smokers. Yeah. Like, if you really stop and think about that, just that tense moment, like, man, there's, there's no way I'm washing Judas's feet. There's just absolutely no way.
Yeah, and that is a powerful moment. I also just think about the kiss, too, right? Because, I mean, here's Jesus just standing there and letting it happen, you know, just knowing full well, you know, what it all means.
So hard to love without strings attached, and just regardless of how Judas is going to treat Jesus, he still loves him. A shout out to Nick, one of our Quip class teachers. We were talking about this, and he shared something with me that I thought was interesting. If you go back to, like, the widow and her mite, and Jesus says, oh, you're really generous, that money could have been used to pay Judas. You know, the temple could have been using that money. And so she's supporting this organization that ends up killing Jesus, you know, and you think about how Jesus commends her for being obedient to him, even though the outcome is his own death.
Yeah.
And you're thinking about Judas, like, you know, same sort of thing. Like, we're called to love regardless of the outcome. We're supposed to be obedient to Jesus and follow his lead in that. And so I think a lot of my friends walk along with scars from church hurt. Or, you know, I can't give to that, or I can't be a part of that organization, or, you know, I can't love them because of the hurt that I've experienced in my life, the way that the church hurt me, the way that the people in the church hurt me. And Judas is walking around inside, maybe in our church, you know, people who don't love or claim to love Jesus. And so it's really hard to love like that when there's sinners involved in all these conversations, and it's really, really messy. A book I love is A Relationship's a Mess Worth Making. It's super, super solid on how to love people when it's really hard. And I just want to encourage us that Jesus didn't get the outcome he wanted, you know, but he still loved.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you say, okay, so one, we don't get the outcome we want. We've already experienced so much pain because of relationships. Where is the motivation? Where is the hope? Where do we get our energy or perseverance from in going ahead, you know, in the right direction?
Being part of the church, yeah. I think from God.
It has to be, right? Like, if it's from us, it's going to dwindle and fail, right? You know, but if you realize how much you've been loved, right? Even in Judas's betrayal of Jesus, this was part of the plan. I love that line. It says, the devil already prompted Judas to betray Jesus, because here the devil is, you know, getting Judas not to love Jesus, and his own temptation leads to our salvation, right? The devil has no clue that his ability to tell Judas not to love back is the very thing that redeemed, that overcame his all of his tactics, right? Yeah. Like,
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And so, I think, you know, like, we even said this in pre-preach, like, from a perspective of, like, this is not a, like, don't do this out of guilt and shame, right? Like, I'm a bad Christian if I don't do this. Like, we do this out of gratitude. We do this out of, man, I am Judas, and God died for me. And out of that great love, out of his character, out of how much love he's poured on me, I want people to experience that.
Right, right.
I want people to know that type of love. And if I'm the very, like, vessel that can show people that love to ultimately the person who's going to do it perfectly to them, right? I think by this, I love that statement, like, by this, they will know.
You're my disciples.
Yeah. because you love one another.
Yeah.
Just filling in the blanks, because not everyone might have that memorized, but that is the core of it. Hey, Noah, I just want to say to you, people out there might think these things are scripted. They're not. I mean, we just kind of have a conversation here, and I know you mentioned there were some things, feel free if you want to, share something or whatever, jump in there. I am thinking about, as we talk about like just this motivation, I mean, I've heard the gospel compared to other religions or religious systems, this way, that every other system in the world, it's performance first and then verdict, right? Mm. We're going to do the best we can and then hope we get a passing grade, at the end. But the gospel is verdict first. We get the A+ because we get Christ, righteousness. So we have it all and we can't lose it. And then comes the performance. So the verdict and then the performance. But you talk about, if we're going to obey, it could be out of fear because we're not sure we're going to measure up. Yep. Or it could be out of gratitude, paying it forward, in love. So just dwelling, knowing. We want results, right? But we already have that. We already have the riches. We already have the salvation. Amen. We always have the security in Christ. Doesn't mean the relationships down here don't
And
hurt.
I think we always get... We always, when we love like Jesus, we always get results. Mm. It's just not, the target is usually not where we're aiming, right? Mm. Usually I love somebody because I want them to change. And God's like, no, you need to change.
Yeah.
Right. And so when we do live in obedience to God,
wow,
things always change. It's just usually the target of change is usually we have the wrong aim.
Wow. Right.
So good.
Yeah.
So often I love, I'm like, Paige is doing some cooking and I'm like, I just don't want you to make that many dishes for me to do. You know what I mean? And I'm totally missing the point that she's making dinner for me. It's like, and I'm like, I don't want to clean up those dishes. And I'm like, I hope she would change, so I eat my cereal in like a Saran wrap bowl, then I throw the Saran wrap away. I don't have to clean the dish.
There's something wrong with you, bro. Yeah.
Leftovers, put them in a little microwave.
See, I'm the opposite. Like I live in this scale where like everything should be even. Right.
Oh, and so
Ash, if I cook you dinner, owe me
to do the dishes,
right? Like the love is always reciprocal. Yeah. Yes. It's like, if you show me love, but usually if I'm honest, I only keep track of what I should get and not, sorry, I missed you, love me there and I owe you. It's usually just on the other end. Like, babe, I cooked you dinner. Babe, I massaged your shoulders. Like, hello, there's a debt that is owed to me. Right. But I never count the debts that I owe to somebody else.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people, like, that's kind of like love for us is like, we show love. So we receive love and we live in this like tipping scale of like, love should always be even.
That's karma. That's not the gospel.
Well, I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying this is how my mind works. Is like everything should be even or fair. And I think you hear that word a lot. I mean, my kids tell me all the time, Daddy, that's not fair. So like the scale needs to even out. And that's honestly like sometimes how we love is like, okay, I'm going to love you. But once the scale gets a little bit odd, like it's your turn, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus's scale was always not in his favor, right? Mm-hmm. It's with me, with Judas, with anybody, the scale's always off. And I think we have to get to the place where our love scale is okay being busted, right?
I think like you said, if we do the math, we would not be happy with the results.
And our scale compared to Jesus, is so broken, right? We are so below, underperforming on the love, but we yet still perform, show love to someone with expectations. I expect to get this in return for my love,
Yeah. How do you break that cycle? I know maybe we've already been talking about it, but I mean, slipping into control, into, there's that phrase out of 1 Corinthians says, love keeps no record of wrongs, right? But I'm a bookkeeper. I'm an accountant, right? And just working in a way to manipulate. How do we break that? Mm. I don't know. We already answered that.
I think they're like, it doesn't happen instantly. Mm-hmm. It's a process. I think being in God's word, helps, praying helps. Mm-hmm. But I think just loving, like, try to do your best to love people without an expectation, right? Mm-hmm. For me, at least, that helps me. Like, hey, I'm going to do this for my wife because I love her, not because I want something from her. I'm going to do this for my boss, not because I get a promotion, not because I want him to notice how good I am, because this is just who I am, right? And I think once you see the character of God, you try to live out that character. And that's who God was, right? He didn't do things for show or to gain an advantage or to, like, he just did it out of love, sheer love. No, like, I just have so many expectations. I gotta nip those in the butt. Sorry, Taylor, if that was too loud.
First Timothy says, the aim of our charge is love. Out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience, out of sincere faith.
Yeah.
You know, and if the aim of my charge is loving with a pure heart, there's no, you know, this will come back to help me. There's no expectation of someone else's response. But with a good conscience, you know that it's not for selfish motives or vain conceit. It's not out of selfish ambition. And it's with sincere faith. You know, you're trusting in God for the outcome and for your future and for him to and ultimately God will make it right in the end, right? At the end of it all, it will be right. It's just we have to try to make it right today and have to be play the judge.
It's really about motive, right? Like, where is this, what is deriving this love, right? What is motivating this love? And I think a lot of times if we look at our motive, it will actually tell us if it's really love or not.
Yeah. I think, I guess, you know, we think about that, like, backward look, you know, in terms of what Jesus has done for us. But ultimately, I think there is a forward look, too, we've been hinting at, kind of a Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for good. Like, Drew, you were talking about evil acts, you know, that God were necessary, redeems. You know, he for does. God to accomplish his righteous plan. So it's not just like, you know, you already got what you're going to get. Stop asking for more. I mean, there's almost, it's somewhat legit, right? I mean, we have a song that says, even if you didn't do anything more, you know, I mean, I don't know. But we could spend eternity expressing gratitude for what we already have.
For sure.
But the gospel is even more glorious than that because we know there's an end to it all and it's being orchestrated. So anyway, I'm sorry. Now I'm just rambling. But no, I know you mentioned, you were talking about, there was a story I think that you thought was relevant to this, or an illustration, you know.
We'll see if it was.
Yeah, we'll see.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Dave Bame shared in our staff meeting this week just an incredible story of God's grace and love and the church being what it should be, you know, being the church. And through Dave, I'm just so proud of him and so inspired by him. But there was a someone who attended one of our church services maybe about a year ago now, maybe 2 years ago, a couple years back. And he had stood up and he had shouted some things about from Revelation, and he had, you know, scared a lot of people. There's a lot of fear around that. Maybe you were in one of those services or heard about this. And it was really hard to, you know, I had talked with him before service and asked if he wanted me to sit with him because he was new, and, you know, and watching that all unfold with security and everything was kind of interesting. But and a lot of people left the service and it was very scary. And
went to get their kids.
To get their kids, and it was really a hard thing to walk through and a lot of tears and things. But he had actually been part of a cult. And so he called the church and had been reconciled with some other friends of his who attend Northridge. And Dave Bame has reached out a couple times and just connected with him. And he was here on Sunday at church. And, you know, it was just cool to see how God turns the story around and that it's not about how much someone hurt us or how much someone has caused us pain, but the way the gospel has shared love and grace and redemption in that story and worked all things for good for the, you know, for the glory of God. And not, it's not about us. It's about God's glory in this situation, in this life, you know, and then the story is so, you know, God glorifying, so wholesome, so healthy. And our church is, you know, I just love the way our church responded and the way Dave's responded to that and, you know, welcoming him back with open arms. And that's just,
I think it's a picture of like loving someone who could easily be on your list of people not to love. Right. Almost like the opposite of like, hey, let's bar this person from the doors. Like mm-hmm. you could easily justify that. Like, hey, protect our people. Like right. this person is maybe a little bit off and we need to be careful. But Dave Boehm just showed the love of Jesus, right? Like, yeah. hey, mm-hmm. we're not going to give up on you. And just because you hurt us doesn't mean we will stop loving you. And, Amen. You know, this is one example of the change that the love of Christ can produce in someone, the forgiveness that can be present mm-hmm. and the reconciliation. Man, I saw him at the 8:30 service worshiping right mm-hmm. in the corner. He's a really tall person, right? So you can't miss him. His arms are outstretched. I'm like, yeah. this is what the gospel is meant for yeah. right mm-hmm. here, right? This is what the church is for, yeah. right? People who are maybe misguided, maybe who believe the wrong things, and like the church is there to love people back to ultimately Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's such a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the categories of people that are just really hard to show Christ's love.
Mm-hmm.
The people who have hurt you,
yep.
you know, who've stabbed you in the back, who've done,
yep.
like we all have people in our lives. And unfortunately, sometimes those people are the closest to us,
yeah.
right? Their spouses, sure. yeah. parents, there's
children,
friends, mm-hmm. even yeah. like we say close, like the church,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Like the church sometimes is supposed to be the safe place and it's the place of harm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to recover in moments where you've been hurt and still love.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and Dave Boehm shared, that he had, this individual had expressed a couple of times, thanked us
as a church,
as yeah. a church. And we heard a recording. He left a long voicemail mm. and it just asked us for forgiveness and thanked us. And when to say us, Dave Boehm, other yeah. people, there were other people, you know, mm-hmm. like, yep. you know, Noah, John McIntyre, there's a number of people who mm-hmm. interacted with him, but yes, that, you know, that reaching out, Drew, I know your leadership, it was, we as an oversight team, you know, we're praying for him. Mm-hmm. We as a staff, we're praying for him. I don't mm-hmm. think any of us prayed like expecting results or saying, no. you know, we're going to, you know, we're just going to sit here with our arms crossed until, you know, something changed. We loved, we cared. I'm not sure I expected, you know,
yeah.
much, but God, you know, just did, you know, an incredible result there. So I guess just any last piece of advice, just an encouragement to hang in there or just something that, you know, you'd like people to, by faith, do as a response to this message.
Yeah, I would say one, even in our like our goal that, man, loving people like Jesus would change people, like I think we have to come back to the point that like your actions doesn't change anybody, right? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, like if you think you're going to change someone, you have a theological problem because you don't hold that power. No action that you do is that compelling.
Mm-hmm.
What makes people change is a God thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's in his timing. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. in his will. Mm-hmm. And so like, remember that, right? Like, oh, I think we are so proud enough to think like, I'm gonna love this person so good that it's going to change them. Mm-hmm. That's pride mm-hmm. at some level in your life. Good intentions can lead to the wrong path, mm-hmm. even good actions.
Right.
And so be careful of pride. Like, you know, we plant seeds, we put them there, God waters them and he makes them grow. Mm-hmm. And so be reminded, right? When you love that God would change, not your actions would change someone. And just, right, like just as best as you can, love people without expectation that they give anything back to you.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Drew, appreciate great launch. Love this foundation. We got 5 more weeks to navigate relationships that Noah told us were messy. but what's next?
Yeah, we're going to step in. Really, the next 5 weeks are like the nitty-gritty practical of how we love like Jesus, from right. how do we deal with the conflict in right. our relationships? What tools do I need to have in my relationships that are actually going to build healthy and lasting ones?
So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Listen, please keep coming back. Love someone this week like Jesus yeah. loved you. We'll see you next week.